Guys can grab your Bibles and open up in Hebrews 12. Just again a confession about my slides. They didn't make it here. Sorry about that. So you can take out your Bibles or you can turn on your Bible, whichever you... If you turn on your Bible, please just turn the sound off your Bible. And then you can open up at the scriptures at Hebrews 12. Okay, and I'm just going to share a few thoughts from Hebrews 12. Just want to thank the band. You guys did so good this morning. They were here bright and early. And just love worshiping together. And the Lord's presence was so tangible this morning. It's still tangible, hey? Who of you know that worship didn't end when the music ended? Worship continues. Just the music stopped. Right? It's not a thing that, that worship is only music playing. Worship is everything we do. And there's a testimony of a girl that got saved at one of the trance parties. This girl getting saved there, just to hear her story, her background, where she was, and the acceptance that she was looking for, and she found it. She found Jesus in the spiritual tent at the trance party. It's just incredible. So go and listen to that testimony. I think that is why we do stuff like that, because we trust that the Lord is going to meet people and transform people. And I always say we must never forget where we came from. Never forget where the Lord found us, because that will always keep our hearts soft towards a dying world outside there, that we can always have grace towards them, right? We said on Thursday evening, Christ came full of grace and truth. He didn't come full of truth and grace, but it was grace first, because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, right? We don't take truth and become judgmental with truth. We come in with grace, and then we give truth within in that context. Okay, awesome. You guys doing well? I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to share a few thoughts out of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, we're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. And I just want to honor Hentas for last week's word. If you didn't hear it, please go and listen to it. It was amazing unpacking. We saw Cheslin in a robe and dumbbells in front here. There's also video footage if you want to have the video. We'll share it on Facebook. Just to humble Cheslin as well in the process. But it was amazing. He talked about the first verse that speaks about laying aside every weight and snare that so easily entangles us in this journey that we are on, this journey of faith. And I don't know about you, if you've been serving the Lord for a long time, I mean, this is an endurance race that we're running, amen? There's good times and bad times, and he unpacked it just so well, our diet, what we eat, the scriptures, prayer, exercise. And doing that, I think I did the SRD about 3 times without exercising, and it was horrible. I enjoyed it the first 13 kilometers, and then after that, it was just not good. So for us as Christians, we need to be fit. We need to eat the word. We need to exercise well, because we want to achieve the goal. We want to win. We want to achieve Christ, and we want to move towards Him. And he preached about that, and was really, really, really good. It just blessed me so much. And I'm going to pick up with a few thoughts in verse 2, just building on what he said last week. But let's read the scripture, and then just a few thoughts on that, and then we're probably going to worship again in the end. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then it goes on to say, looking to Jesus. So this is how we run it with endurance. We looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It is amazing to me that the motivation that kept Jesus on the cross was joy. It was the joy set before him. It was the motivation of joy that kept him on the cross. And I just want to say to all of us Afrikaners, it's okay to be motivated with joy. Okay? You must give yourself, can we give ourselves permission to be motivated by joy? Okay? Especially in the household of God. Because His kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace. Amen? That's a good word, right? So, so we run with endurance, and then he says, looking, just want to make a few comments on the scripture, looking to Jesus. Now, that literally means almost looking from afar, almost like an athlete running. And I mean, if you do a 100-meter sprint, your eyes are focused on the end, right? Your eyes are focused on the end. And it's always so beautiful when you see the little kids running, and they, what do? They take the parents and let the parents stand in the end, right? Because if I see dad, I'm gonna sprint for dad. But if dad isn't there, it's gonna be 10 meters and I'm gonna dod down here in front of the javelins and just lose concentration all the way. But it's a focused thing that we are called to focus on Jesus and to look at Jesus. Now, who of you know that in any ball sports, what's the first rule in any ball sport? Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. That is how you're going to hit it. That's how you're going to catch it. What you focus on and what you look at, that is going to end up in your hands. Who of you have ever, it's not that bad in Wellington, but if you come in the road with potholes, okay, have you tried to miss a pothole that you were focusing on? You can't do it. It's like you see that pothole, miss the pothole, doof, through the pothole. Why? Because you looked at the pothole. If you want to miss the pothole, don't look at the pothole. Look where you want to drive. Look where you want to miss it at. Then you will miss the pothole. But it's just, it's instinct for us to move towards whatever we are focused on. Whatever our eyes are focused on, we move towards that, right? And in the same way, I think in our own lives, you know, you can be focused on what you're not, or you can be focused on what the Lord has called you to be. If you're going to constantly position your heart in a place where you focus on where you are not, who you are not, listen, what do you think you're going to hit? Who you are not and where you are not. That is going to become your life, right? But if we focus on Christ and what He has called us to and what He is doing in us, and are we perfect? No, we're not yet perfect, but we look to Christ because that is where we are moving towards. We are moving towards Him. Then we will hit Him. We will hit the places where we need to make decisions that will keep us on the road and keep us in an enduring race of faith if we look unto Christ. Right, so Jesus says, look unto me. This is the call of the writer of Hebrews. Look unto me. If you want to endure, if you want to make it, if you want to walk according to my will and my purposes in the earth, look unto me. Now, I just want to say something quickly here about, I hear many people, when it comes to the will of God, people ask Him, it is, if you ask people, what is the will of God for your life? People will often say to me, but, you know, I want to know where I must live, where I must work, and who I must marry. And I just want to, for the record, say that God's will is much greater than where you live, where you work, and who you marry. Okay? I'm not saying those things are not important. They are important. But God's will looks more like Christ is looking for the unsaved. He wants to bring good news to the unsaved. And that is irrespective of where you work, what you do, or who you marry at the end of the day. So don't elevate those questions. Things you can elevate is Lord, who? Why? Rather ask the Lord, why am I working where I'm working? Why have you placed me here? Because I want to bring the good news here. I want to bring healing here. I want to bring light here. That is God's will, that you will be light wherever you are, right? So God's will, and we can only achieve that. But if you're in your work and you're so negative and focused about everything that is wrong, how are we going to be looking to Jesus and being a light and being an answer when our country really needs it at this time? Then the world, we just join in with the world and we're pessimistic and negative about everything. I mean, we're standing in elections is coming up. And I mean, we've seen all the chaos that's in Somerset West over this past time. Like, are we going to look at that as a church and say, Yania, ons land, weer doop? If that is the confession out of the mouth of the church, I'm saying we are not in the will of God. We must change ourselves, look to Christ and say, Lord, what is your plans for this country? And I don't care how it looks and what is happening in the politics in our country. Who of you understand that there is no authority above Jesus Christ? Right? Amen? And He can change a country. He can change our country. But where are we going to position? To who are we going to look? Are we going to look at the politicians? Are we going to look at the chaos? Or are we going to hear the call of the Hebrew writer and say, we're going to look unto Jesus and trust Him for a greater work? And we're going to stop with all the talking amongst ourselves about what is going wrong and how we are going to hell and how all of these things and the petrol price. I know it is horrible. But God. But God. But God. And we cannot, as the Church of Jesus Christ, lose faith in this moment of time. Listen, there's a difference. Faith is needed in this moment, not hope. Faith is needed. There's a difference between faith and hope. Hope is something in the future. We hope for something in the future. That is hope. Faith has to do with the here and the now. And many times we can pray for one another, we can pray for healing, and we're not praying in faith, we're praying in hope. We hope that something good is going to happen. We hope this person is going to get healed. We hope this country. Now, obviously, we hope that. But my faith today will actualize the hope for tomorrow. Does that make sense to you? What I choose today, the conversations I choose to step into, the way I carry myself today, what I speak over myself, my family, our country in this day, that carries weight as we move along. And I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit hole, but may we be a prophetic voice in this time as the Church of Jesus Christ and say, for people that is saying, oh my word, they are just leaving the country, just trying to get away because the Lord has placed us in this country for a time like this. So let us stand up and shine with the light of Christ in this moment. Let us, the words of Christ be in our mouths first, right? Let's go from the defensive offensive in English. And let's bring the word of Christ and let's bring the light and let's bring the hope. Huh? I mean, if we look at the context, Isaiah says, arise and shine, for your light has come. For darkness covers the earth. And then it says, great darkness the people. Jesus, which is the light, doesn't matter how dark it is in our country or in our workplace or whatever at this moment, Christ, the light of the world, overcame that darkness. And then the Lord said, great darkness covers the people, but I will arise above you. And we must allow the Lord, in our submission and humility, to say, Lord, may your words be in my mouth. May your faith be in my heart in this day and age so that I can walk and actually speak your word over our country. There's enough people that are speaking negative stuff over our country at this moment, right? Let's speak hope. Let's speak faith. Let's speak the promises that the Lord has over our country in a time like this. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with what we want to speak. Maybe I can connect it. If we look unto Jesus, we'll be able to speak that. But whatever we focus on, if we focus on the negativity, we're going to miss it. So look unto Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 2, see, looking to Jesus. And then he says, why? Why look to Jesus? Because he's the founder and he's the perfecter of our faith. Now that's beautiful to me. That word founder is also, it's translated differently, but he's the founder, he's the author of our faith. He writes the story, right? He's the author, he's the originator. He's the direct translation from the Greek says he's the captain. He's the captain of our salvation. Another translation and a way to describe is he's the pioneer. He's the pioneer of our faith. And what does that mean? That means that Jesus, he came to earth, he lived a perfect life, and he pioneered. So pioneer is one who goes ahead of us, right? He went ahead of us, and he made a way for us to walk in, and he overcame every hindrance that would be a hindrance for us not to follow. It's almost like walking if you walk in a forest. I mean, there's a great difference of walking on a road that has already been cut out versus walking in the bushes. And it's almost that kind of sense. Like for our walk, for your faith journey, Jesus is the author. He's the pioneer. He's the captain. He's the one that went ahead of you to overcome death, darkness, sickness, depression, lack. He went ahead of us to pave a way for us, to make it possible for us to walk and to follow him. It is possible. So I want to encourage us as a church that, you know, sometimes we come to difficult places, and there is difficult places, but our pioneer, our captain, the author of our faith, he went ahead of us. Amen? He went ahead of us. He made it possible for us to walk in this. That's just so comforting to me. So he says he went ahead of us. He's our author. And then it says he's the finisher, or he's the perfecter of our faith. And again, he's the one. Faith for us originated from Christ, right? And he writes our story of faith as the author of our faith. As we are in total submission and humility and surrender to him, he writes the story. He writes our story. And his promise is that he will never bring us to a place where we will be, that will be too great for us. He will never lead us into temptation that is too great for us. So if we are in the will of God, you can always rest assured that wherever God leads you, whatever he calls you to do, there is grace and faith for you to do it because he has authored it to be. And he will bring it to completion if we are continually in his will. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so he authors stuff, and whatever he authors in our life, he will finish in our life. He will end it. He will end that chapter. He will make sure he writes that story. And this is so awesome to me. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. Now, here's the problem for many of us in our faith walk. Many times we want God to finish something that he didn't author. And that's an issue. That is where the concept and the reality of repentance come in. And still in that moment, if I come to a place and I'm like, Lord, you didn't author this and I want you to finish this, but this was my idea, even in that moment, his grace is sufficient that he says he will work out everything together for good, and not for everyone, for those who are called according to his purposes and love him. So in that moment of repentance, in that moment, say, Lord, yes, this was my will, not your will. And I'm turning back to your will. Will you give me outcome? And Lord say, yes, I will, my son. And he's there. Okay? So don't expect the Lord always when it comes to stuff you do, stuff you call to. And that is in every area of our life. That is work. That is where you live, everything. Let the Lord author where he wants you to work. Let him author where he wants you to live. Let him author that. Because when you do that, there will be faith available for you to walk in it and to finish that race. Does that make sense? Okay? Can we quickly turn to 2 Timothy 2:13? You know, I want to tell you a story as we're turning to that scripture. When we went for ministry training, there was two groups in the bigger group that was there. The one group of people came to ministry training because their pastor or their leader told them to do it, and they thought it would be a good idea for them to step into full-time ministry. That was the one group. And the other group was a group that was there because they had a conviction that the Lord has called them to do this. Okay? And not one of the people that was in the group, because a leader told them to be there, is still in full-time ministry today. And I want to use that as an example. When the Lord calls you to something, when he tells you to do something, his word, how does faith come to us? By hearing. His word to us is enough. It carries enough faith only in that word to carry you through difficult times. It's enough. But a man's word will never be enough to carry you through. I'm telling you, I mean, those guys, they were there because their pastor, their holy pastor, told them to go there. And even if a leader tells you, there must be a conviction in your own heart, because otherwise you're going to fall into doing works rather than living out of faith and moving out of faith. Does that make sense? Okay, a man's word will never be enough to carry you through the storms of life. You need the word of God. You need His word. His word is enough. His word will bring faith to your heart to carry you through those times when it seems like everything is against you. You don't see a way out. His word. His word. Right? And I remember we're talking about enduring faith here. And I love what we're saying this morning. Raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Guys, like sometimes we must raise a hallelujah louder than our own voices in our heads. The unbelief that attacks us, the fear that attacks us, we raise a hallelujah. Why do we raise a hallelujah? Because the Lord says that He inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise Him when we do not know, the Lord comes with His presence. He brings faith to our heart. He brings clarity. He brings wisdom, and we can move again with Him. But when we are unsure where to go and you don't know what to do, praise. Okay? So what will we do when we do know? We will praise. What will we do when we don't know? We will praise. What will we do when it is well with us? We'll praise. What will we do when we go through difficult times? Okay, like 10 of you are getting it, but the rest will get there. Don't worry about it. In Timothy, this is amazing. Just something I learned out of my walk of faith. It says in 2 Timothy, Paul says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Jesus is faithful. Now, what I've learned in my faith journey is this, that as the pioneer and the originator of my faith, when the Lord speaks to me and asks me to do something, I say, yes, Lord. Now, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I don't know how this thing is going to play out, okay? But I say yes because He has spoken. And I don't need to know, because I trust Him, I don't need to know all the detail of what lies ahead of me. But I do know this, that He is good and He is faithful. And I hear His voice. Okay? So, now, as the originator of your faith, who of you have ever prayed for somebody that, say for instance, for healing, and you had zero faith for that person to get healed, and then the Lord heals a person? That happens to me. It happened a lot to me. I'm like, Jesus, I feel so unspiritual right now. You know, that's like, I'm just choosing to do this. Man, this must be a Christian thing om te doen nou. So ek gaan nou kies. And I choose and I'm praying for this person, and then the person gets healed. And then you are more surprised. This person getting healed, you are more surprised than the person that has just got to be healed. You're like, this works. What happened in that moment? What happened in that moment? Have you ever experienced the times where you are seeking the Lord's provision and you have just had a bad day, you and your wife just had a small, too large disagreement, a passionate disagreement, or domestic, whatever you want to call it, and then God comes through with His goodness and He provides, and you are just feeling like, Lord, I do not deserve this. That is God being faithful when we are faithless. Now, as the originator of our faith, the Lord does this because He brings us into His slipstream of what He has already done for us. Right? Does this make sense? Like, if... I don't know how to explain this. For me and Frankie, right? Just, we went for our, we had this experience, we went for our visas. And in the car, on our way to our visas, we had a passionate disagreement in the car on our way to the visas, right? Now, I'm not very good with this on-the-spot type of stuff. Okay, so we get there, and we are doing this interview with this guy behind a counter, and he's interviewing, and Frankie's standing next to me, and she stands there and she says, she was thinking, we are never getting this visa. Like, he's saying all the wrong things. You know when you say the wrong things at the wrong time, right? Not the right thing. Anyway, I was saying the wrong things at the wrong time, right? Just and looking. I don't know, if you go for a visa, I just feel guilty going in there already. Okay, there's just too many security people around and I just feel guilty already. So I just said all the wrong things, and Frankie was standing there. She said she was thinking, we are never getting this visa. And God spoke to her in that moment, and He said to her, I'm going to show you my goodness right now. And in that moment when he told her that, the guy said, your visas has been approved, you're good to go. The Lord pulls us into the place of where he exercised faith on the earth. He pulls us into that. And from that place, we can live and have our being. It's like the boy, the father with a boy that had a demon. And the Lord says, do you have faith? Do you believe that I can do this? And what did Jesus ask him? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like these moments, we just have to say, help my unbelief. And then the Lord in our faithlessness remains faithful. And he does a miracle. Why? Because he wants to build our faith. He catches us in the places where we fall short. And I think in my faith journey with the Lord, this has just been the only thing I can testify to this day is that he's faithful. He's faithful. He always comes through. He's faithful. He's the only constant in my life. He's faithful. And when I am faithless and I have no faith, he remains faithful. I can remember when Frankie was diagnosed with cancer, and just that moment going the morning, I wanted to pray and I just couldn't pray. I just didn't have it inside of me. I don't know why. I was just sitting with the Lord at his feet and trying to worship through tears and stuff. And through that journey, again, I didn't have faith. But what was amazing to me in a fellowship that other people had faith for me when I didn't have faith, right? And again, the Lord remained faithful to me again and showing, Niels, I've got this. You don't have to be scared. I'm here. I'm faithful and I will be here and my word will stand. It will stand for eternity. No one can change it. No one can take anything away from it. He is faithful. And if we want to look to Christ as the author and the finisher, know this, that he already went ahead of us, right? And he pulls us into the work that has already been done. And out of that place, there is plenty of faith because he remains faithful. I heard a guy once say, faithful means full of faith. If you spend time with the one who is faithful, it will always leave you full of faith. So look to Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith. Now we go through difficult times in our faith journey. Definitely each one of us goes through difficult times. We go through what we call desert times. We just feel the Lord is far away. And you know, can somebody relate going through difficult times? I want to tell you what difficult times do to us, to each one of us. There's a verse in Song of Songs, 8 verse 5. It says, it talks about the person coming out of the desert. And it says, the person comes out of the desert lying on the shoulder of the beloved. And that's such a great picture for me. On the Lord takes us through difficult times. And Peter even says, like, listen, rejoice when your faith is tested. Rejoice when you go through difficult times because the Lord wants to show the genuineness of your faith. Who of you understand that the only way you can see if you have faith or not, if it is tested? The only way you're going to see if you are a mature Christian is go under pressure and see what comes out. You're not tested in the good times, in the easy times. You're tested in the hard times, in the difficult times. I was trying to encourage my brother this week. He's their three-week-old got viral meningitis, and he was in hospital, and the day his boy Neil got out of the hospital, he was admitted with viral meningitis, and I was speaking to him. He was in a hospital, and he says they're just going through such a tough time. He just wants it to end, And sometimes we feel like that. We just want it, Lord. Can it just end? And the question is this: may the times of difficulty bring us to the place where we stop relying on what we can do and cannot do, but lean on our beloved. If difficult times have that working in us, it is starting to perfect our faith. It is working our faith because difficult times wants to draw us to Christ, that we lean on him. Faith in your life will never come out of works. Faith originates out of surrender. If you surrender yourself, that is the place where faith starts to grow. And out of surrender, you obey. And the works that you do then are called works of faith. It is not working more, working more, working more. It is surrendering, and from that place, working and doing. Amen? The Lord is faithful. If you go to Psalms 119, verse 24, and remember this psalm, there's a place where the psalmist says, "Let your testimony counsel me." When you are in difficult times, when you are running this race, right, there is times that is just, it's difficult. And in those times, fear wants to counsel you, right? Other people wants to counsel you. Just negativity wants to counsel you. And the Lord is inviting us and saying, "Come to me and let my testimonies be your counselor." Remember those times that the Lord came through. Remember his faithfulness. Raise a hallelujah. Remember the cross. Remember the resurrection of Christ. Go and read the scriptures. Go and think about your life and the times that the Lord came through. Don't forget them. Let the faithfulness of the Lord counsel us in our journey and in our faith journey. Is that good? Don't let fear counsel you. Fear is a bad counselor. Very, very bad. And then the Lord goes on to say in verse 12, verse 2, he says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. For the joy set before him," right? "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And just by ending off this morning, I just want to ask you this. What is the joy set before you? Why are you enduring? Why are you here? Why do you keep on keeping on? Why? Isn't that a good question? A why question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why? It was the joy set before Christ that kept him. That on this day where we celebrate, where he came into Jerusalem and he went through a crazy testing week and was killed and resurrected. What kept him on? There was a joy set before him that kept him. That kept him on track for that week. And he knew what's going to happen that week. I mean, he had the chance to bail out. He could have bailed out. But he didn't. What kept him going? The joy set before him. What is our joy set before us? Why do we do what we do? Isn't that a good question? Right? The joy. Now, I want to mention this to you. When Jesus gives joy, and when he gives peace, and when he gives righteousness, it is not your righteousness, and it is not your peace, and it is not your joy that you are experiencing. Didn't Jesus say, "The peace I give is not of this world"? Right? He gives us what peace? His peace. He gives us his peace. So when you get saved and born again into the kingdom of God, and you come into fellowship with the Father and the Son, you become a part and you partake of his joy, and you partake of his peace, and you partake of his righteousness. That is why in your submission, when you are in Christ and found in Christ, there is ample faith for you to walk, because he is the founder and the finisher of our faith. He is the fountain of faith where we look to and where we have to follow. So the Lord brings us into his faith. And my prayer for us in this time is, Lord, restore unto us not the joy, not your joy, but the joy of your salvation. When the joy of Christ's salvation comes into your life, I mean, nobody who is, you know, people can't take that away. A bad day doesn't change that. Bring us into your peace. Because listen, who of you understand that when we stand before God, right, on judgment day, it is not my righteousness that's going to save me, but it is his righteousness. So difficult times have this outworking, like Song of Songs says, let me lean on the Beloved. I've come to learn that I cannot lean on my own, even on my own faith. I lean on his faithfulness. Okay? So when it doesn't matter if you feel you've got enough faith or not, don't lean on what you have or don't have and on your own understanding, but in all things, trust him. Lean on his faithfulness, and then you walk with boldness. But I believe there's a joy that the Lord once again wants to resurrect in our lives. The joy set before Christ that he will be resurrected and that he will be seated in the right hand of the Father. And today, that is the joy that is set before us, that nobody can take away from us. That one day we will be with Christ in glory, that he has tasted death for all humanity, that death, the sting of death has been removed and life has come. The Lord has said that he brought eternal life with him. The kingdom is here and salvation is here. He says it's not a thing you have to hope for anymore. It's a thing you can believe. It's not something that we this weekend, just through memory, say we want to remember. We want to say, no, Lord, we want to live in the reality of your favor and your blessing and what you in your salvation, what you have brought for us. There's a joy set before us. So I want to encourage you, don't stop. See the joy. Look unto Christ. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. And if you don't know how you're going to get through a season, know that he has been there. He has gone through every temptation. Don't think your temptation is unique or your situation is unique or other people don't understand. Jesus understands much more than you understand concerning temptation. He went through everything. He pioneered this thing so that we can walk behind him and walk in his slipstream through the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Awesome. So I want to encourage you in this time, may the Lord once again restore the joy of his salvation in your heart. Stop looking for your own joy. Come into the joy of Christ. Come into the peace of Christ and come into the righteousness of Christ and let that manifest in your life. Can we stand together this morning? Just want to read you Psalm 51. 10 to 12, that is this prayer of David. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me, and restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. You know, the Lord is amazing in the sense that He doesn't need you to have everything in order and know everything all the time. But the consistent factor through everything is him. Through every miracle in Scripture, through everything, he is the constant. He is the one. He is the faithful one. He is the faithful one. And this morning, I just want to trust that each one of us make a realignment in our hearts again, away from our own works of righteousness, that we lean on our beloved and we lean on his faithfulness for everything, that we lean on him. So just for a moment, just examine your own heart, Lord, and I pray that you will just in this moment, just show our hearts to us, God. That we boldly come to you this morning, God. And Lord, I want to ask, Lord, that you will reposition and realign us and realign our focus, Lord. Almost away from, do I have enough faith, to you who is faithful and true, that you are full of faith. That you will recapture again, Lord, in this time, just the joy of your salvation, the beauty of salvation to us, God. Lord, may our salvation never become something we know intellectually and be satisfied with that, Lord. So I pray for us as a house, Lord, keep us unsatisfied and hungry for the revelation of Jesus Christ always, Lord. And especially in this time, God, I just want to release a grace over this house that you will truly in this time flood the eyes of our hearts, Lord, with understanding and with light in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord. That, Father, that in this race that we run, Lord, I pray almost for like a tweeter awesome, like a second breath, Lord, just new strength to enter into our bones and into our hearts and into our minds, Lord, to align ourselves with the will of God, with what you think and what you say, God. Father, I pray for the ability in this time, Lord, to be a prophetic voice in our country, Lord, and in our town, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you say, Lord, that if we come into your light and live in your light, Lord, we have fellowship with one another and there the blood of Jesus manifests itself. Lord, I pray that in our fellowship here today and as we walk out from this place. Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will manifest itself in our lives, in our marriages, with our children, Lord, in the places we stay in Wellington, Father God. Lord, we do not want to be scared to believe you for greater things. We do not want to be scared, Lord, to believe on you that you can change us and that you can bring revival and that you can revive us unto the purposes of God. Father, I pray that in this time that selfishness once again will die in us. That we can throw ourselves on you, Jesus Christ. That we can lean on our beloved and know that he is faithful and true. He is safe. We can bank on this. We can go all in for you, Christ. Lord, I pray that there will be in this week almost a dissatisfaction in our hearts, Lord, for just knowing it and just remembering. Father, I pray for a grace over this house for each one of us to taste and to see that you are good. And that goodness, God, that it will lead us again to repentance, Lord. Father, I pray, Jesus Christ, in this week, as just as your blood manifests, Lord, and we build up to Friday morning where we celebrate the fact that you died on a cross for us, Lord, and what you've paid for. Lord, wash us clean again, Lord. Bring us into alignment again, God. Lord, the only thing we have to bring to you is filthy rags. And we pray, God, that you will take that from us and clothe us anew in the name of Jesus. Lord, as you rode into Jerusalem as the Messiah and as the King, we want to acknowledge you as that this morning. You are not only our Savior, but you are our Lord. And I've said this quite a few times, but you cannot have Jesus as your Savior and not have him as your Lord. It doesn't work that way. He's our Lord first and then our Savior second. And it's the goodness of that Lord that leads us to repentance. And he brings us into his kingdom from that point on. Lord, I pray again for a realignment. I pray for an awakening, God. I pray again for a revival in our hearts, Lord, to understand and to see in the name of Jesus. Why don't you just open your heart and open your hands just in front of you. Just feel the Lord is wanting to release a grace for just, you know, those places in life when you come and there's almost a spiritual awakening in your heart. It's like walking and you come to a, just like drinking water when you're very thirsty. You're coming to a well again. Wells are places of life. And Lord, we want to thank you, God, that when we come to you, you are the author of life, Lord. You are the well of life, God. That you say whoever comes to you and drinks from you, living water will gush out from the inside of us, God. And in this week and in this day, Lord, we want to come to you and want to say we are hungry to know you. We are thirsty, Lord. Will you feed us, God? And will you satisfy our thirst, Lord? That water, that living water may really become water that gush out from the inside of us, Lord. Not by our works, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, today, just as in this moment, as a house, we just again come to the place of surrender, God. We come to the place of surrender. And say, Lord, maybe there's some of us that has authored many things in our life that we want you to finish. Lord, we want to say we're sorry. And we want to ask, Lord, we give the pen back into your hands. Say, Lord, will you write the story? Will you write the story? Will you write the story, Lord? Write our story. For the day that we give our lives to Christ, to our Savior, we give up our will and we give up our name. And we allow him to write the story. That is what faith means. We allow him to write our story. We allow him to author it, to start it. We allow him to write in the details and we allow him to finish it in the way that he wants to finish it. Lord, we today look unto you and we declare you are the author, you are the captain, you are the pioneer, and you are the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. Father, and I pray today, Lord, I just have a sense that the Lord wants to activate faith again. In our hearts. So Lord, we just wanted today, and you'll know if this is you. I mean, if you have inactive faith, it's there but you're not applying it and you're struggling, Lord, we want to pray this morning, God, just for a renewal, for your touch, God, again over that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Over the seeds that have been planted, over maybe just hot coals, will you blow again over it? May become a raging fire, Lord. I pray again, Father God, for some of us, a zeal, God, a zeal for your name, a zeal for your house, a zeal to see your kingdom come and manifest in the earth, Father God. Lord, we ask you to do a work that only you can do, and that is to awaken our hearts, Lord, to the purposes of Christ, to awaken our hearts again to the purposes of Jesus Christ, to awaken our hearts. And I just sense we need, just for a moment, if you just sense like, yeah, Lord, I want to trust you for awakening in my heart again, won't you just come forward? We just want to pray together. We just want to end off with worship. Just an awakening. Lord, awaken my heart again. And you'll know if this is you. If your heart has just grown cold and just like you're just struggling with faith and just exercising faith. Come on, church. I'm not going to let you go home until you respond to what the Lord is saying. He wants to awaken us. He wants to touch us. And maybe this is like some of you, we don't do this. I'm just asking you to move out of where you are as almost as a prophetic declaration and say, Lord, I don't want to be where I am spiritually right now anymore. I want to walk away from that place into what you have for me. So as Andre and them are worshiping, I just want to ask, when you come forward, I just feel like the Lord is want to awaken it again, our hearts, to the purposes of Jesus Christ. And maybe your heart has just grown a little bit cold and you're just struggling. You want to read your Bible, but you just don't have the desire to do it. You want to pray, but you just don't have the desire to do it. And the worst thing that we can do is try harder. The best thing we can do is surrender and say, Lord, awaken again in me a desire for your word, a desire for your purposes, a desire to see your kingdom come. Awaken again the desire. So what I'm asking you to do this morning is to come and lean on the Beloved, the one who is faithful, the one who is faithful and true. He has brought you this far. He will finish the story. Some of you need to give a pen back into God's hands and let him write the story. And some of us need to stop telling him what he must write. And joyfully accept. Isn't this the Lord that says that he's got good plans for us? A hope and a future. That is the Lord that is writing your story. That is who is writing our story. So let's just for a moment, just take a moment and as we worship and just bring your heart before the Lord and let's trust the Lord that he will once again awaken our hearts to his purposes, awaken our hearts to this great price that he paid on the cross and resurrection life, and that once again will start motivating us and moving us towards him and towards one another and towards the world around us. Our worldly success will not define us in eternity. And our pride won't either. And how we look before people won't define us in eternity. His kingdom is an upside down kingdom. He works differently, looks differently. He's looking for the humble. He says his eyes go to and fro over the earth, looking for hearts that is full of faith. Looking for those who want to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. He's looking for those. He's looking for voices in our country at this stage who's willing to speak his word. He's looking for the prophets. He's looking for them. And stop thinking it's the person next to you. He's looking for you. He's looking for me.